It's time for the all-new Gervie's Law, cross-examining the ages with your host, Alan Gervie, and introducing your co-host, Michelle Lobato. Alan is the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 40 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie, and this is Gervie's Law. In case you haven't noticed, we're back on the air. Last week was our first show back with Alan Dershowitz. What a show if you didn't hear it. Make sure you check out Gervie's Law to hear our podcast of the Alan Dershowitz Show. Yes, we were canceled for about 8 months, unfortunately. For Jimmy Kimmel, it was a short few days. For us, it was a long time, and it made me reflect and think about some of the words that I say so I don't get suspended by ABC, KBC, wherever the heck we are right now. It says KBC. And so we're going to be very careful about what we say today. We probably won't use any bad words like poopy or butthole or anything. Oh, wait a second. Michelle?
Wow, you know it's bad when Alan starts to censor himself. What is going on in the world?
But I use those names, poopy butthole.
Yes.
And why?
That is the guest that we're interviewing today. How exciting. Do you know who that is, Alan?
I've never been tongue-tied. I am. My tongue is tied. First of all, for those of you who haven't heard the new show, started last week, it's Michelle Lobato. She's co-hosting with me. And she has this line that she's cross-examining what?
The ages.
The ages. So we're different ages, I guess. And interestingly enough, last week, Alan Dershowitz did talk about your generation, Michelle. And he was very kind. I'm not as kind about your generation.
What don't you like about our generation? Our generation's great, very insightful. We have a lot of resources that we use, you know, like AI, social media. Very open-minded, I would say.
Open-minded? You're closed-minded. You sit in front of a device. Your whole life is dictated by
YouTube. A device that we use as a tool.
And you interrupt. You don't respect your elders. Alan Dershowitz called me after the show last week and said, wow, she's really great, but why does she interrupt so much?
You know what? I'm learning from you. So.
No, it's the entitlement. You know, the lack of responsibility and discipline that you've said it yourself with work. You're kind of like, oh, well, maybe we'll come in. Maybe I'll go. I won't. I mean, whoever thought that you could stay home and work? What is that?
Working remotely is not a new concept, and I am such an advocate for it. I don't think you need to be in office to get your job done efficiently.
And I will tell you something. As a business owner and a managing partner of a law firm, so many people who work at home, guess what they're doing? They're going to the dry cleaner. They're taking their dog for a walk.
Guess
they're
what the people
dinner.
In office are doing? They're stopping to talk at the coffee machine. They're going out for walks. They're doing their little smoke breaks. They're not doing much either.
No, they're not.
They're there to show face and to show, hey, I'm here. I'm present at work, even though I'm not really present at times.
That's a cop-out, really a cop-out. That's what the younger generation will say, but they have no discipline. No, guess what? Some of us actually go to work to work.
You know what? Gen Z is very practical. Why do I need to spend 30 minutes of my time driving to work, 30 minutes driving back? Over time, that is so much of my valuable youth lost in just driving to work.
No, a lot of times there's self-reflection. You can listen to podcasts, even though, or radio shows. You could listen to Gervie's Law. But let me ask you something, Michelle. When you work, what do you have in your ears?
AirPods.
AirPods. Oh, okay.
AirPods. Apple's AirPods.
You're accusing me of not knowing what an AirPod is?
Yes, I have my AirPods on 24/7. I'm listening to stuff. I'm listening to classical music.
But you're missing out on life.
That is not true.
Absolutely. You are so focused on what's going on in your ears. How can you work?
It helps me work. Classical music really helps me focus.
It's not only classical music. You're listening to podcasts that distract you.
No, that's not always the case. Sometimes I'll listen to podcasts if I'm going through my emails, but obviously if something requires a lot of focus, I'm not listening to podcasts.
So you really truly believe that...
It's like putting on the news while you're doing some work.
Putting on the news. What about working when you're doing some work?
that I do do. You also, you're my managing partner. Of course, I work 8 hours a day with no breaks.
No breaks.
No breaks.
And what would you do if you had a break?
I would take the time to self-reflect on what I'm doing in my career.
That is so much BS. That is not true. You would look on social media. You would check out TikTok.
Social media can be a tool. I've learned a lot through social media.
What have you learned?
I have learned how to sew. I'm teaching myself how to sew. I've learned about the news, you know, albeit very nuanced points. Yes, I don't watch like CNN or like the actual street live stream news. I watch it on TikTok.
And aren't there a lot of people that you have no idea who they are?
Yes. Yes. It's all mainly strangers on the internet. Yes. But they all
I'm talking about, let's say,
a variety
CNN.
Have you ever, point of views.
Have you ever heard of Anderson Cooper?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard of Blitzer? Lee Blitzer?
No.
Lee Blitzer?
No. No, I have
you
not
haven't
heard
of Lee Blitzer?
No.
His name's Wolf Blitzer.
I don't get the joke here.
I rest my case. But I do admire you for having the ability to multitask, to be able to look at your social media all day long and still pretend like you're working.
You know what? I think that's like the rising case of ADD or ADHD in my generation.
What does that mean?
That we have a hard time focusing and sitting still and doing tasks.
Is it a chemical imbalance?
That is up for debate.
So you don't think it's an environmental thing?
I very much do think it's an environmental thing, yes.
Do you know that I grew up without an iPad and without a phone in my hand?
You know what? I'm not that young. I also grew up without an iPad and without an iPhone. I got my first iPhone when I was like 12, so for the first formative 12 years of my life, I did not have a cellular device.
So when you were 3 years old, you didn't have an iPad?
Correct.
Well, who cares? A three-year-old?
What? No, that makes a big difference in how your brain is formed.
Oh, so your brain is only formed by looking at an iPad.
No, but those first 12 years are very formative. And if they're spent, you know, they literally call them iPad babies. If they're spent behind a screen, that's going to be very detrimental to the way they grow.
So when you went to dinner with your family, you didn't take an iPad out and look
Correct.
At it. And that's why you right now don't have any...
I'm not
technology.
Saying now I don't have any phone addictions. That's a different conversation.
You do
for
have
a
an addiction.
Day.
So it is an addiction.
Sure.
What happened to
I
the
I don't
addiction?
Believe that you don't have one too, though.
What about reading a book?
I do read books.
Could that be an addiction?
It can be.
It can be?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, how about watching TV?
I don't watch too much TV, but I do watch Rick and Morty.
You have?
I have.
Okay. Well, if Rick and Morty is one of your favorite shows, you're going to be excited because after the break, we are going to welcome one of the featured voices of Rick and Morty, better known as Mr. Poopy Butthole, but his real name is John Allen. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Mr. Poopy Butthole right here on Gervie's Law.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
And I'm back by myself. Before the break, you were listening to Michelle Lobato, my new co-host. But, you know, as is consistent with her generation, she quit. She's no longer here. She couldn't take the heat. So she left.
Yeah, right. You wish.
I don't wish. I'm happy you're here. But, you know, I've seen it too often where your generation just quits. They're just quitters.
You know, they won't stay at a company that's no longer serving them.
Oh, excuse me. So it's always them.
Not always, but.
All right. Why don't you introduce John Allen? Because I know you're a big fan, and he's done some incredible work as a voiceover and as a comedian and as an actor. Tell us about.
Yeah, so John Allen has been a voice actor since the 90s. It looks like he's been on Dragon Ball Super, Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron-Blooded Orphans, which sounds like an anime. But his most prominent role has been Mr. Poopy Butthole on Rick and Morty, which is a fan favorite character. That character really breaks the fourth wall and speaks to the audience throughout the show.
Oh, cool. So why don't you welcome John to the show?
John, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I am all right, coming to you live from fabulous, scenic, welcoming LAX.
You know what? I should have expected that your voice would have been so nice to listen to.
Thank you very much. I just hope there's not too much background noise from the airport.
Absolutely none until you take off. Maybe we'll hear the airplanes. But have people told you about your... it's really noisy.
Jeez, you did that.
We did that. So people talk about your voice. Like, did they hear your voice and say, wow, that's pretty cool. You should be a voiceover.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that. But it's like, I don't have, typically the people who get that are somebody who have like a deep, deep baritone bass kind of a thing. And like, oh God, you should be doing promos for Allstate or something like that. I get more like the higher pitched wacky characters and such, or with anime, it's mostly just, a lot of time it's more like using my own voice, which is like what you're hearing right now. So,
you know, this is your own voice. Oh, I thought
it is. Yeah.
You're doing a great job with it.
How did you think?
I think. How did you get involved with? I mean, so many people, believe me, here in LA, so many people want to do voiceovers, want to be character actors, want to be able to have people recognize their voices.
Oh, good. We definitely need more piranhas in the tank. There's one thing we need more of in LA, it's actors. So I'm glad to hear that.
That's right. So tell us about how you got your start.
I was writing for some websites late 90s, early 2000s. Became friends with somebody who was a casting director at Funimation Productions at the time and made it, well known that that was something I wanted to pursue. And was fortunate enough to have a chance to do a general audition for them at one point, and then from there get the chance to do a one-liner on Dragon Ball Z back in 2001.
So it seems like networking is the name of the game when it comes to acting, and then
it certainly doesn't hurt. That's absolutely, it's all about making connections like with pretty much any other business.
Yeah. It seems like it opens the door for opportunity, and then you know what they say about luck. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Indeed.
So,
but that's not to say that that's all it is. Obviously, you have to study acting and actually have to know how to
work. Yes, the preparation.
Thank you for saying that, John. I tell you, we're having this little dispute about, I'm a little older, a couple of years. We're talking about her generation, and I called them a little bit lazy and
talking
stuff like
about
that.
Her generation.
That's right. And listen
what song
to
is
you.
That?
You don't know that song.
No.
See? How do you not know that song?
It's up for debate, but I'm on the cusp of Z and millennial, so I just go by Zillennial.
She's turning 25 next week.
Yes.
Yes. not quite here, not quite there.
Exactly. But, you make some good points when you talk about, the preparation and the working for something. It seems like a lot of people just expect handouts. Tell us about how you have, you mentioned late 90s, 2000. John, we're in 2025, getting into 2026. That's 25 years. Talk about how you have worked your butt off to be a poopy butthole.
Well, there's definitely, there can be an emphasis on style over substance these days. I mean, especially with the advent of, more and more social media platforms, influencers and people that are, I guess, famous just 'cause, and I've never really been in on that where, but for some reason it resonates with people where you've got people finding out like the names of like their family members, their cats, all because they share their lunch every day on Instagram or whatever. But that's never really been my thing. I've always been more to put the work first, and then the rest is just kind of an extra obligation. Like the goalposts keep getting moved, I guess is the way to put it.
And as a voice actor, do you have any say in, sometimes you do improv for the characters or?
Yeah, it depends on the show. Like with the anime stuff, you're kind of boxed in a bit because the footage is already done and we're dubbing the picture. So you're kind of acting with somebody else's mouth and you're at the mercy of how many mouth flaps there are. But with something with Western animation, yeah, they do give me room to play, and it's always fun to see what makes the cut and what doesn't. Sometimes it's not so fun to make the cut because you'll find that lines that were scripted were cut for time. So, you know, a little of column A, a little column B, I guess.
I see. And I know with anime, that all gets translated from Japanese. Do you find that the translations are pretty spot on, or?
Wait, you speak Japanese? How would you know?
No. I'm sure he's the English voice actor, not the Japanese voice actor.
Yeah, but how would he know about translations?
I watched a couple of anime.
I know a little bit. I mean, I did take it in college for a semester, so, but just basic stuff like, you know, Kohio no Mimasuka, that sort of stuff.
I don't know that one. I just know arigato.
That's just me asking if you drink coffee. But arigato is, yeah, thank you. I do find that that the translations these days are much more faithful than they used to be. They used to be bad to the point of parody. And I think that just came down to, I don't know, communication issues. I'm sure the intent was to always have as close of a one-to-one translation as possible.
Yeah.
But now with fans being smartened up about it and usually watching the subtitled version first, there's much more pressure to stay as close to the original as possible.
Yeah, and with the rise of AI, you know, is there any worry about your specific job roles?
Are you kidding me? I'm wearing an FAI shirt right now.
and you're not the only one.
Well, what do you think about AI? Can it mimic emotion?
To an extent, but I mean, there's still like a soulless nature to it that I think people pick up on. I am very surprised by what they're able to do with it. I've seen some dubs come out that advertise themselves as being all AI, but it is an existential threat for those of us in the arts, whether you do drawings, whether you do acting or whatever. I was literally on picket lines pretty much all year because video game performers were on strike, whether you did motion capture or voice acting, and that went on forever.
Do you think
we finally came to an agreement, but I'm worried about some loopholes that the companies could exploit if they're greedy enough.
Do you think that will impact shows like Rick and Morty, which seems to be so creative and so original?
I mean, don't give them any ideas. I hope not. I don't think so. I think there's ways that it could be used as a tool to help make production go more smoothly. I would just prefer it stay as far away from the voice acting side of things as possible.
So let's talk a little bit about Rick and Morty. I mean, this is a show that has so much popularity and also controversy. You came in and I don't know where I'm getting that from, but talk a little bit about how you were able to take on this role and who played it before. One of the founders and originators of the show, Justin Roiland. Tell us how you felt when you came in to take this role in the environment that was a little bit, I don't know, controversial.
Yeah, I don't want to speak too much on his departure as someone who was a fan of his for many, many years and would love for there to be a better outcome than where things are at presently, which isn't to say that I want to lose this gig. But there was an aspect of it that I would say is bittersweet. I was absolutely thrilled and honored to be even in contention for the part and even more overwhelmed to actually be chosen. But I will confess there being a lot of pressure. I pride myself on being a pretty good impressionist and trying to keep it as close to a one-to-one match as I possibly can to keep it consistent to what was being done before. The challenge I face with that sometimes is the fact that he himself on video has said that he was inconsistent with the role sometimes. Sometimes PB would slip into sounding more like Morty. Sometimes he would slip into sounding more like Mr. Meeseeks. So they had me work with a speech therapist, voice coach, who had worked with Justin to try and find the middle ground as best as possible that, you know, people would enjoy and wouldn't be too much of a disconnect with the transition.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I think your remarks are well taken, very diplomatic, and appreciate that. You know, you say PB. When you say your name, and I'm sure you can, like, do people look at you who may not have been aware of Rick and Morty or may not have seen it and not know what
they
you're talking
I'm
about?
They think I'm messing with them.
Yeah.
It's funny. I have a bit in my stand-up act now where when I do conventions in smaller towns and they go on the morning news to promote the appearance, it's always fun to see, are they going to say the name? Are they going to say the name? And it usually boils down to, like, you know, yeah, you know, Sam's going to be in town. He was Donald Duck back in the day. And also we got John Allen, who's the voice of... Well, he's on Rick and Morty anyway, and he'll be great as well.
That's funny. I mean, hey, that kind of ties into censorship. They should be able to say Mr. Poopy Butthole with a straight face, if they should so please.
We do. We do, but, like, I get it. Or maybe not everybody's ready at 9 a.m.
to be
bombarded with a name like Mr. Poopy Butthole.
You know, it's not only that. I have an 11 and a 12-year-old, and I had mentioned the other day that you were going to be on the show, and because of, you know, Rick and Morty, that's not exactly a show that they watch. They're not old enough, I don't think.
No, I should hope not.
And so when I said it, you can only imagine their face. First of all, it was shock that their dad said that, and then secondly, it was disbelief that that was a name of a character.
Yeah, I think that the intent was to basically make fun of naming characters when that the idea was conceived. I believe Justin had actually used a similar thing for one of his YouTube projects back in the day, like Mr. Poopy Butthole Flaps was a character that was used on some of the previous work.
I mean, despite the funny name, it seems that the character really resonates with the audience. Why do you think that is?
I think he's endearing because he absolutely, you know, he's on a bit of a journey in the last season or two. But I think people like an underdog, and Poopy Butthole is a guy who's been kicked around a lot, and he's had a rough go at things. And you want to see a win for the guy because he's usually so happy and upbeat and wanting to help people out.
Yeah, totally. You mentioned a journey. How's your journey with the whole comedy thing?
Fun. I've been having a good go of things over at the Comedy Chateau in North Hollywood, and
nice.
We're about to do a big show in October at the Hollywood Improv for Eris Talent as well, showcasing some of the other people on Adam's roster.
And what about Extra Toppings? That's a short film that you were involved with?
Yeah, that was a fun piece of business we did as part of the San Diego 48-Hour Film Project. Very well received, and Mike Egbert and his team at Eggs and Bracken are now looking to submit it to other festivals.
Well, you know, Rick and Morty has been such a success, and I saw that they've been renewed for, what, another four seasons or something? So that should guarantee a lot of work moving forward. And it's now available on HBO Max, Hulu, and Prime. Really getting out there. That must make you feel really good. Before we let you go, John, we would like to hear your character talk about what you would love the listeners to do in the future watching you on Rick and Morty.
Jeez. I'm going to get some weird looks at the airport here. But
that's okay. There's a lot of weirdos there.
Sure hope they see me at the convention. I'll sign the Funko Pops.
That'd probably be something he would like.
maybe don't send things directly to my home address. It's a little invasive. Ooh-wee.
I want to see the people at the airport looking at you right now. That's great.
They probably don't believe it. They're like, why is he doing an impression? That can't be him.
That's right. That can't be him. And there are people. Yeah. Now you're going to be signing autographs.
I'm going to get on the no-fly list. The sky's the limit when you're improvising a poopy butthole. So.
I hope you didn't want to leave anywhere, because I think you're stuck in the airport now after that.
I hope not, because I got to get over to Anime Fargo in North Dakota. That's where I'm on my way to.
Oh, that is so cool. I'm from Winnipeg. I grew up just around there, north of North Dakota. So I kind of like it there, and I think you'll be great. The only thing is make sure you leave before the next 2 or 3 days, because there's probably going to be a huge snowfall and 30 below weather any day now.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it in any case. I've been to South Dakota a couple times. This is my first time doing North Dakota, and I'll be out there with Paul St. Peter, who's the voice of Xemnas in the Kingdom Hearts video games, and Kurama in Naruto. He's probably my best friend in the business, so this should be a fun one.
That sounds cool. Just make sure when you go there, say oofta a few times, and they'll welcome you with open arms.
Oofta.
Oofta. John?
Oofta.
Sounds good. You're in. Thanks for being with us here on Gurvy's Law. We've really had a good time and enjoyed speaking with you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Good luck. Good luck with Rick and Morty. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for another Gurvy's Law. Michelle?
Tune in next week to keep getting these fresh perspectives.
Fresh perspectives from the new generation.
Oh, yeah.
And the old guy like me. Have a great week.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.